This is the DMT One-to-One Show, episode 43, on the 15th of January 2014, a feature on the new YouTube channel Transmitter. Hello everyone, and welcome to the DMT One-to-One Show, where we chat about the most interesting projects happening in the digital music industry. And this week it's a real pleasure to be at the Transmitter Studios in King's Cross, and I'm here with Jeff Taylor, who's the Chief Executive at the BPI, and William McGilvray, Head of Content and Programming at LoveLive. So hi William, how's
Hello.
It going?
And all right, yeah, hey, Jeff. Well, thanks.
Hi.
How's it going, all good?
All good.
Yeah, great.
Glad to be here.
Awesome, it's really good to have you here. And so we can see big T's here everywhere. So Transmitter is a project that launched in 2013. So first of all, what is Transmitter?
Well, in a nutshell, it's a multi-genre music channel for the YouTube generation. So we've created a channel which we launched in November of last year, November the 11th. It's been live on YouTube for just about 2 months now, yeah. And it's really that in a nutshell. It's a multi-genre music channel. It's focused on kind of the best of British music. So it's a music channel with a very British outlook and tone of voice. But it also has an international remit. Jeff will probably tell you that, you know, what we're aiming to do with the channel is to take, you know, British music to a much broader international audience, which is obviously why YouTube is its first home. Transmitter as a music brand, however, has other aspirations to grow outside of YouTube, but YouTube is obviously a vital home for us, and will remain, you know, sort of core to the sort of the channel strategy, if you like, moving forward. When we say multi-genre, it's about covering all the best assets, facets of British pop music right now. So it has quite a broad remit in terms of its music policy, if you like. Yeah. But I actually think that's one of its strengths and one of its benefits, because I do strongly believe, and I think, you know, a lot of that can be backed up by, you know, other people's opinions and data, that YouTube is a place, particularly for music, that you either go super niche or you go super broad. And I think what's interesting about Transmitter and the opportunity that we have for the channel is to bring in lots of different fans and lots of different audiences to a hub.
And Jeff, where did the idea come from? Did you guys go to LoveLive, or the other way around? How did it happen?
Well, we were already working with LoveLive, because obviously at the BPI we also run the Brits. So as well as running BPI, I'm Chief Executive of the Brits. And the idea was something that we had been working on for a little while, and it stems from, I think, our perception that music was no longer that well served by television in the UK. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we'd been in discussions at BPI with broadcasters, particularly the BBC, for quite a long time, trying to encourage them that they should put more music on primetime television. And there's a very conservative attitude amongst commissioning editors at TV stations with regard to music. And what has tended to happen over the last few years is you're left with shows like Later on the BBC, which is a fantastic show and a really great outlet for music. But it's on, you know, as implied by its name, pretty late. And there aren't too many others. You know, there are a few chat show slots, but really music has almost been sort of moved to the margins of mainstream television. But if you think back, and I'm not trying to suggest that we're going to reinvent the way the world was, but if you think back to, you know, 80s, 90s, etc., music had a much more prominent role on television. And we certainly believe that organizations like the BBC have a duty to sort of reflect what's going on culturally in the country. So we've been trying to encourage them that that's what they should be doing. But it was an uphill struggle. And we feel that fans want somewhere they can go to find out about new music. YouTube is that place, but it's not that organized. And actually, picking up on Will's comment earlier, I think music fans these days are really eclectic. You know, they have really eclectic interests in music. And there are YouTube channels, obviously, you know, for individual artists and some very successful channels that aggregate content. But they tend to be a little bit niche in the sense they concentrate on one genre of music alone, typically. And we felt there was real scope for a mainstream music channel for British music.
Of course. And looking at the objectives for Transmitter, of course, we're talking about a scope that is broader than just YouTube, but it starts here. So, starting in 2013, what were your objectives then, and have they evolved since you launched?
Okay, well, I wouldn't say our objectives have changed since launch, because we're only, as Will said, we're only 2 months in.
Yeah,
but early days. The objectives from a BPI perspective were very much about creating a new platform to promote British music. So that's something we do with the Brits, obviously. And actually, you know, this year we're doing some exciting new things with the Brits, which will be announced soon. And we're trying to open up the Brits to a broader audience. But that is an award show, which is kind of one moment in the year. And we felt that there was an ongoing need for a platform that could use, I suppose, the power of bigger artists to bring people in and introduce them to newer British artists and help, you know, help music fans find new artists and new music they're going to go and love and learn about the artists. So that's really our goal. It's to promote British music, both in the UK and more widely. Yeah. And we're just at the start of that journey.
That's exactly it. And I think, you know, coming back to Jeff's point in terms of aspiration, I think Jeff really hits the nail on the head when he said that, you know, we want to use the more established and familiar and successful, acts and artists, you know, in British music to help to engender and introduce and in fact endorse, you know, newer and more up and coming acts and artists. So it's a kind of almost a collaborative effort, if you like. And just innately, it's a sense of, you know, if you come to a channel, you know, you bring in a significant audience with a top tier artist, and yet sure. There is that opportunity to discover, you know, within the channel journey, if you like, you know, sort of newer and more interesting acts that you may not have discovered before.
Well, and I think philosophically it was quite interesting. I mean, you asked us about the partnership with Love Live, and so the idea for the channel came from the BPI, because we have a group of digital executives from the labels that we talk to, and this idea came out of that group, and then we, you know, had a shot at doing it, and we were going to partner with a major technology company to do it, and we've ended up doing it on our own. But one of the things that attracted me to work with Love Live was that Will's vision was very much that this should be curated by artists. This should be artist-led, and this should all be about artists, not so much talking about their own music, but talking about the music that they love.
That's right.
And introducing, you know, artists speaking with authority and passion about other people's music that is important to them. And I really like that, and I think fans are much more interested, frankly, in what Tiny Temper may have to say about the other artists he loved than hearing it from the Brits or from the BPI or anyone else. And so this is very much an artist-led channel.
Yeah, and the ideas of obviously curation and collaboration is something which is innate to both the YouTube platform and, you know, YouTube users, viewers, you know, or, you know, Gen Z, if you want to go that far and start calling them by that sort of psychographic, you know, kind of idea of what a digital native now is, you know. And in fact, I quite like that idea itself, the idea of Gen Z being not so much driven by, you know, age, demographic, you know, are you a, you know, 25 to 34 year old, you know, man who spends money on music? You know, we're sort of in the digital world, we're moving away from that and actually looking at something which is more broad. You know, it's not defined by demographic, it's defined by how people use and engage with content. And I think Gen Z answers some of those questions, and I think it's interesting for us as a, you know, well, it's interesting for me as a programmer and a creative content to sort of, you know, create something, create a platform, create a channel with that sort of mindset in mind. And you know, so I think that's partly where that idea came from. I mean, we've always played with the idea in various other formats and kind of concepts in both at Love Live and in my past, where, you know, it's become more apparent over the past sort of 10 years, 12 years that, you know, less and less the arbiters of taste are, you know, your big, you know, publishers or your big kind of music brands, if you like. Less and less are they becoming important to the Gen Z audience, and you know, actually a sense of you know, the authenticity of an artist's voice is actually much more valuable and valued by that type of audience, as is obviously recommendation from friends and peers, you know. But I think also the artist is within that mix and has a very strong voice, and that's definitely something that we're really trying to, that idea of curation from the artist and endorsement from the artist is something that we try and infuse throughout all the formats that we do on the channel, whether it's a simple one of our live formats, which we'll talk about shortly, whether that's the positioning of the interview that we will have with the artist, right through to something which is very specific around curation, which is our series of top threes, which we do with our artists. So yeah, no, it's still something we're very passionate about and very keen to keep as, you know, kind of almost a USP for the channel.
Sure, and of course growth is really important for any YouTube channel. You know, we're all looking at growth, but it's actually hard to come by, even if yes, you are a relatively well-known artist. It's not instantaneous.
It is not.
And so how do you feel like you're going to approach that growth and how you're going to achieve it, essentially?
Well, I mean, I'll speak to this first if you want, but I mean, yeah, we're 2 months in and you know, it's the most difficult thing to do on YouTube is find your audience. We're also trying to, we're very much of the belief that a channel such as this needs to grow organically, in a sense that we want the audience, the subscribers that come to the channel, to be real and valued audience that are going to stay with us and stay on that journey. I mean, one of the things that we're currently doing, because obviously we are very early days and we are an unknown brand effectively at the moment, really. One of the things that we're doing is we're working very closely with the music industry and the artists themselves to find interesting new ways to effectively cross-promote the content. And that is, of course, an opportunity that YouTube gives you in its structure and its networking, sort of opportunities. But, taking it a step further, as well as obviously kind of, being, collaborating with the artists to ensure that the correct social messages are pushed at the right time and that their marketing is kind of keyed into our releases and our release schedule. But above and beyond that, it's actually within the formats itself as well. So, some of the early and very successful experiments that we've already done are the kind of the part one, part two video. So where we will take, we'll work with an artist or a band on an idea, where effectively the first part of the video will sit on their channel, which already has X hundred thousand subscribers, and then we annotate out to part two, which sits on Transmitter. So just a very simple and effective way to bring one set of audience over to another channel, and it's proved very effective. I mean, we did something with Little Mix. We did some Christmas fun with Little Mix just before Christmas, and we did a part one part two video with them, and it's been it's been great for us. So that's something that we will continue to pursue, and I think it's essential in the early days of a new channel, a new brand, that we remain open to those opportunities and possibilities as much as possible. And it also, of course, it feeds into our idea of being more collaborative and being more sort of cross promotional and sharing content. I think it's all in that mix. And really important for growth.
And Jeff, Will was mentioning the importance of artists actually being part of the picture. So how has the industry responded to the launch of Transmitter, both from a major and an independent perspective?
Very well, I think. We've had some great artists with the support of the labels in the first couple of months. I think the thing I'm most pleased about is the quality of the content has been fantastic. So, a lot of session performances, which have been really high quality, a lot of really interesting interviews and lots of different formats. And obviously, Will mentioned earlier that we're going to be moving on to new formats, like live formats, quite soon. So we should talk about that in a minute. But I think all of the majors have been right behind it, which has been great. We launched just before Christmas, which is sort of a challenging period, so we're now waiting for everything to speed up again in the music industry,
because it's a little bit of a lull.
There are not a lot of artists available between the middle of December and the middle of January. Everyone needs a break, so it's been a quieter period. But as the release schedule gets busy again, we are very confident that the labels will continue to support us. And we've had indie artists like Drenge on, and we are obviously talking to all our indie labels about it. We have quite an eclectic mix of artists on there, and hopefully that will become one of the attractions of the channel. Mm. That you may be a pop fan who doesn't generally listen to indie music, but you're going to find it, and you may just get introduced to artists that you otherwise wouldn't be exposed to. And so it's important that we have the spread of labels behind it, and we're working hard to achieve that.
Yeah, sure. And looking at the formats, of course, you just launched with live is a big component for the channel right now. You have quite a lot of live videos. You have a few other interview formats, even sketches and stuff like that. So how do you structure that schedule, and how do you also approach artists to get on board with different types of maybe fun content that you might want to get out there, which may not be traditional ways of promoting yourself on YouTube?
Yes, well, I mean, I guess the first question was, how do we structure the schedule? By design, it's very driven by artist schedules and artist release schedules, particularly. We do try as much as possible to ensure that the content falls, within kind of, sort of periods of time where there is... it's both of value to the artist and to us. Of value to us because obviously around those promotional cycles, there's more visibility around that artist, more awareness of what they're doing. So it helps us as much as it helps the the label an artist.
And regularity is a big thing on the internet. I mean, I know it as a podcaster, you know, I have to get this show out every week otherwise.
Yeah. And actually that's why we're here sat in the studio, because one of the first things that I think we said to ourselves when we started to build this channel together was we know it needs a daily refresh. We know it needs, you know, sort of a continuous flow of content. We know that that's what, you know, YouTube audiences expect and want. And we need to build the fire and keep giving people reasons to come back. So, you know, the one of the most kind of simple and elegant ways of doing that, and we see a lot of channels, you know, that, you know, and actually we say a lot, but, you know, there really isn't that many music channels on YouTube at the moment, frankly. You know, I think that although it's known for being a music source, there aren't really channels, you know, or entities or brands, if you like. There's a few, and obviously, you know, we all know who they are, and they're, you know, they're successful. But we think that this is partly a USP, having this facility, which, as Jeff and I mentioned before, is ready to go live. So from February, we will be broadcasting live from here twice a week. And yeah, we'll talk a little bit more about that. But really, it's the studio that facilitates the schedule, because it allows us to, well, you know, effectively have a space that we can play in, that we can obviously provide as a resource to the labels themselves. Because often, you know, I've been, you know, producing or involved in producing content for nearly 15 years now, and more often than not, it's location that is often such an issue. Absolutely. It's like, God, where are we going to do this? You know, have we got the fee for the location? No, we haven't. You know, we're going to find somewhere for free, upstairs room in a pub, you know, in a park. What the fuck are we doing? So, you know, it's like, you know, I wanted to avoid all that by having a hub, if you like, you know, that people can come to.
I mean, 90% of my shows are on Skype, so. 90% of my shows are done on Skype. So.
Yeah, exactly. Well, there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, no, it's just, you know, like when you're dealing with
live music, when you're dealing with
top tier artists and busy schedules, you need to make it as easy as possible for the labels to and management to be able to, you know, facilitate what we need. So here we are, basically.
Absolutely. You're talking about live, so. Your setup is pretty much ready, as you were saying, and how are you planning to that live is kind of a difficult thing to work yourself into, because I feel like unless you're, sometimes there's this, you know, people have the image that unless you're U2 or Lady Gaga or somebody like that, it's going to be very hard to pull an audience for a live stream online. Mm-hmm. You know, how do you think you're going to find your audience that's going to actually come by and watch a show on a regular basis?
Well, it's a good question. We're completely aware of the challenge of live. I mean, one of our specialties as a business, Love Live, is live streaming, which, you know, we've done hundreds over the past 4 years. So that's one of the reasons why we're comfortable with the format, if you like, and we're comfortable with producing live content. And when we talk about live, by the way, we're not just talking about live performance. We are creating formats within the studio that are presenter-driven, presenter-led. And, you know, if you're talking about sort of volume, if you're talking about viewership at the moment, we're quite humble in the fact that we know that we're not going to get huge numbers on the live streams to begin with. What we do, the reason why we're doing live is because we want to eventually, ultimately, create appointment to view content. Because I think that that's where YouTube is moving to, although not obviously completely, but there is a definite movement towards appointment to view. That live is an important facet of what YouTube do, and we work very closely with YouTube, and they're very excited about this opportunity. More than any of that, though, I think what live does is it creates an in-the-momentness which is unrepeatable in VOD. No matter what you do, no matter how spontaneous your VOD content is, it's VOD content, it's pre-record. And I think what we want to create with Transmitter, and I think, you know, one of the aspirations that we haven't yet reached as far as our content is concerned, is that edge, that slight, I wouldn't say danger, but, you know, anything can happen kind of feeling. And also, one of the things that we know about our audience, if you like, or at least the audience that we aspire to be a part of, is that there is a fear of missing out. There is a sense of, you know, I need to be there. I want to be there. I want to be a part of that. And on top of all of that, live gives you great social opportunities. You know, we want this channel to be fully interactive. We want this channel to be as much owned by the audience as it is by the industry or by the artists. So we really want the audiences to get involved and collaborate and communicate and throw ideas at us and just throw crazy stuff. And, you know, we're incorporating them in so many ways, from having people in the studio right through to obviously Twitter call outs and questions to the artist. And we'll have Google Hangouts within the studio. So Google Hangout will be a part of a live format as opposed to a Google Hangout to air, which is, I think, what some people have, or most people have seen so far. So there are all those kind of aspects to it. And it just feels like, why shouldn't we do it as well? You know, like, we expect the VOD content to provide us with the views. We expect the live content to provide the excitement and the danger and the thrill of it, really. Yeah. And hopefully that will communicate within the VOD content that we provide off the back of the live shows as well. Because, you know, let's be honest, it's going to be rough and ready, and it's going to be live, and it's going to be in the moment, and there are going to be things that go wrong, and that's all valid and cool, you know?
That's the kind of thing that you want kids that go back to school the next day and sort of talk about what happened.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's exactly that. I think the unexpected is really important. And, you know, people love live music. People love live chats with artists where anything can happen. I think the artists will have a lot of fun with it, which is important.
Yeah,
and those opportunities on mainstream television, you know, they are few and far between now. So yes, we'll have a small audience to begin with. We absolutely recognise that, but we're trying to build something here.
Yeah.
And, you know, we believe that over time, having live content as well as all the VOD content, high quality in lots of different formats, will make it a really engaging place to come.
Yeah.
And unique, you know, we don't see any other music channels out there doing this on a regular basis, and we want to be the first. So that's exciting to us.
Absolutely. And you were talking about presenter-led approach as well. That makes sense when you're talking about live, because that means that people are going to be willing to tune in if they like the presenter time and time again, even if they might not particularly like that band that is on that week.
Absolutely. You know, that's vital. And of course, we see, you know, most of the most successful, you know, kind of YouTube content creators are one personality driven formats or channels. And we're very, you know, sort of keen to kind of harness some of that energy and passion. We're not ready to announce yet, but we have some fantastic presenter talent, which we're bringing to the live formats. They're YouTube natives, and they're very, you know, sort of well versed within the world of YouTube. And I think that's really going to give us an even stronger tone of voice as we move forward.
Absolutely. Sure. And looking at the YouTube channel, and you were talking about, you know, growing outside of that as well. You also have a website, which is on transmittertv.com. Is that right?
Now you're asking. Transmittertv.com. Yeah, that sounds right. Yeah.
And so, you know, you have to plans to grow that as well alongside the YouTube channel, so that you can sort of grow your own audience that is not linked to YouTube?
I think long term, I mean, the focus for now is really on the YouTube channel. Yeah. But we hope that over time we're growing a brand here. Yes. And we do envisage, you know, the possibility of future collaboration with broadcasters, people like that. So, you know, we're trying to grow a tone of voice, an identity, and a connection with an audience, which then, once that is built, I think obviously we'll want to connect in different ways. So I would say it's there because you don't want to just exist on YouTube. I think you need to have a presence on the web, and you need to be able to say some other things. In a kind of website format that you wouldn't necessarily do on a YouTube channel. Yeah. So it's there, but I think that will grow, that will have greater emphasis as time goes on. And for now, absolutely, most of the focus is on the YouTube side.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Sure.
Talking about, you know, of course, BPI, music industry organization, we need to talk about sales as well. So how are you currently helping our artists that are on Transmitter shift some copies, or, you know, link viewers to their site or to retail outlets where people can buy music? And is there a plan to do more along those lines?
Well, certainly one of the things that we talked about in the design of the channel was I was very keen to see much better integrated click to buy, because I just feel like it's always been annotated so horribly on YouTube. You know, it's kind of there somewhere down in the kind of description underneath the video, and you can barely see it.
Buried under the fold.
You know, you could barely see it. And we felt that was a bad consumer experience, and that if you're enjoying some music by an artist, it should be simple. If you want to buy it, it should be simple to buy. Mm. So, you know, there are annotations in our videos that allow you to click to buy and allow you to subscribe really easily.
That's right.
You know, there's some more technical integration work to enable that on mobile, as I understand, which is a YouTube issue to fix. So we're waiting on that, which will help, because obviously sales are increasingly going mobile for business.
Yeah.
That's something we need them to fix. So please, YouTube, fix it. But, you know, that obviously we want to try and promote sales, but That isn't the primary focus. The primary focus is introducing artists to a new audience. And if we do that successfully, then I think sales will follow. And the whole kind of what is a sale debate is very active in the music industry at the moment, because a lot of people are moving into streaming. I'm a big advocate of streaming. We've worked very hard when we announced our 2013 figures, even though you don't get streaming data, oddly, quite as fast as you get sales data. We wanted to present the full picture, and the picture of the market without streaming looks very different to the picture of the market, including streaming already, and it's growing extremely fast. So I don't care if people watch a transmitter video and go on to stream it on Spotify. If they're streaming on YouTube, frankly, you know, they may go and watch the promo video of that artist, and that's then going to generate some money for the artist, because there are deals behind you know, YouTube with the labels that make sure artists get paid when their videos are played. So it doesn't really matter how they go on to further engage with that artist, but we do need to make it easy for fans, and that's what we're trying to do through the channel.
Yes, absolutely.
Sure. Looking at the selection process as well, so how does an artist that is sort of in development go about getting in touch with Transmitter? And, you know, do you guys keep, of course, I'm sure, you know, the people that work here keep in touch with people like Drowning Sound or Pitchfork or all those tastemakers, and try and discern what is really trending and what they should have here?
Well, that's absolutely right, and I'm sure there's an easy way to get in touch via the website. If you're a developing artist out there that feels you should be on the channel, you know, do contact us at Transmitter. But we are in touch, obviously, with lots of indie labels as well as the major labels. They contact us about developing artists that they have, and, you know, they pitch artists into us. But editorially, the team at Love Live, they're always looking out for what's new and what's interesting, and trying to make sure that, you know, we have established artists that will draw an audience, but also, you know, artists you may never have heard of but are really fascinating. I mean, for example, I'm going to sound now like I know nothing about music, but I found out about Chloe Howe through Transmitter when she was first on there, and I think she's wonderful. You know, and maybe it's just because there's only so much time in the day, etc. You don't necessarily find out about every artist, particularly when they're up and coming.
It's impossible.
You know, the great thing on Transmitter is you find Chloe Howe right next to Tiny Temper, right next to other major artists. And I think, you know, that is something which you don't generally find as easily or organized in that way.
That's
on
right.
YouTube.
No, exactly. Because, I mean, again, you know, with the algorithms, the way that YouTube works is you go to one particular artist, then you'll get, you know, related artists. So, you know, you'll have artists, you know, that have been viewed by people who have also viewed that artist. So, you know, the breadcrumb trail there is not necessarily as distinct or interesting or of editorial value to a user, you know, who might actually come to the Transmitter channel and be taken to a new artist off the back of a Tiny Temper video. And that's something that we obviously do very, very much, is, you know, at the end of every video, we take someone to, you know, the user journey is annotated right at the end. So it can take you to either an artist that we think you'll like because you like Tiny, but it'll also take you to another piece of, hey, you know, check this out as well, because this girl's amazing, kind of thing. So that's very much part of what we do programming wise with the channel, but I think the next step for that, and something that is a content aspiration that we will continue to sort of strive for, is actually creating unique collaborations themselves. We have a format called The Hookup, and we've already done two of those. The first one we did with Gabrielle and Wretch32. We've got Eliza Doolittle and Will Hurd coming up, and we've got a few more sort of kind of in process of being organised. But that's a really, for me, that's a really important format for us to get away, because what that is it's kind of, it speaks of engendering or empowering that opportunity to happen. I mean, you know, the charts are full of featurings and collaborations, and, you know, the top 10 is driven by, you know, the sort of the phenomenon of the featuring, if you like. So, you know, that's something that we're really trying to reflect in our own content, and creating those opportunities for labels to actually interact and come together, you know, over the channel, or through the channel, rather.
Of course. Just as an aside, from, you know, of course, the Transmitter is not a channel that is whose aim is to monetize the videos themselves. But as someone that works in this world, how do you feel that part of YouTube is evolving, and are artists seeing YouTube as a new avenue to generate revenues, or essentially are they just breaking even on the costs of making videos right now?
I think the reality is that you know, sort of YouTube revenues are very you know, it's a very challenging model. At the moment, I don't think anyone's denying that. Some people obviously are doing incredibly well out of it, and you can certainly do incredibly well if, you know, if you if you're able to create an, you know, Ilvis the Fox moment or whatever. So certainly the opportunity is there to generate significant revenue. I would say that at the moment I think that the consumer trend is not being reflected by the advertiser spend, if you like. I apologise for the horrible rhyme there, but yeah, the trend is clearly to online and mobile in terms of viewer habits and consumption, and you know it simply is not the case that advertisers have really followed that trend, if you like. They're still dipping their toes. I think actually that's unfair. Much more than dipping their toes now, they're going all in, but there's still huge. You know, there's a huge disparity, I think, between trend and spend.
I mean, we've got to be encouraged by the growth rate in terms of revenues from streaming.
Absolutely.
To be honest, to shake it up a bit, I've always been a bit shocked by how little comes through to the industry from YouTube, given the billions of views of music videos that there are. Mm. And then I look at the industry figures at the end of the year, and you know it's quite a small number, frankly, that comes through from video streaming, in which you know YouTube is the dominant player. But it is increasing, and you know there are also new deals being put in place. So labels renegotiate with YouTube. I'm sure those are absolutely brutal discussions on both sides. You know, but I'm a firm believer that over time, as advertising rates improve and as advertising inventories and volumes improve, as deals improve, it's going to contribute a huge amount to the revenues for artists and for the industry.
Absolutely.
So it's, you know, we're all having to be a bit patient here. It's a bit of a leap of faith in the sense that, you know, quite often, I mean, frankly, you know, you commission content for YouTube, particularly if you're creating, you know, original content like we are here. And yeah, to expect to get sufficient in advertising revenues to pay for it, at least in the short term, you know, that would be pretty optimistic. There's a bit of a leap of faith for all of us here, but I think, you know, it's a great technology platform. It creates many opportunities.
Absolutely.
And if we have faith and if we invest and if we create great content, ultimately it will pay off.
Yeah. Absolutely.
So let's end on a light note by asking you, I know it's a difficult question, but just to direct people, if they're going on Transmitter Today, which is a youtube.com/transmitter, is there one or two sessions that have been produced in the last couple of months that you're particularly excited about, that you particularly loved and you'd like to mention for people to go and check out right now?
Yeah, well, I mean, my favourite so far, but for different reasons, actually. I think the Ella Air session that we shot for as part of our class of 2014, kind of tips for the year, and it's actually picking up some very good numbers, was just brilliantly shot by our team. They really captured her. There were some lovely moments and some really sort of beautiful kind of, you know, just looked fantastic. So I'm really proud of that one. So that's the one for Dig a Little Deeper. And then just for sheer sort of, I suppose, chutzpah, I think probably The Witches doing a cover of All That She Wants is another baby by Ace of Base, which again is picking up some good numbers. And actually that's another thing that we're continuing to pursue, is those kind of, you know, incongruous covers. Which is proving to be pretty popular on the channel. But I absolutely adore that band, and you know the fact they had the guts at such an early stage of the channel as well to come and do that for us. It kind of sort of laid down the gauntlet, if you like, for other bands and artists, and we're getting some pretty unique suggestions for covers now. So yeah, so that's great. Good. Yeah.
I know for me, I mentioned Chloe Howell. I love what she's done on the channel. I also loved it was a Rizzle Kicks sort of mucking about challenge.
Oh, the cinema challenge. Yeah, they're always good value.
That might just be because I love those boys. They played a party for us actually in the summer, and they were amazing. And they're just great fun, and they're very talented. So
they're
very good fun. So I'd say check that one out. But to be honest, the great thing about Transmitter is there's a load of stuff where you can just dip in, and it's usually surprising and interesting.
Yeah,
and
we hope so.
There's loads of fun stuff, so check it out.
That's great. Well, thanks so much, guys, for your time.
Cool.
And thanks so much for listening. The DMT one-to-one show goes out every week. You can check it out on digitalmusictrends.com, and you can follow the show on @DGMusicTrends. Thanks so much for listening. Have a great week, and until next time. Thanks for listening to the DMT One-to-One show, and remember to check out digitalmusictrends.com for our weekly news show.